you for tuning in to The Queer Truth, the podcast that takes on a variety of topics from pop culture to everyday life. I'm Chantel C. You can call me CC, and I'm joined by my partner in organizing, Denise. Good morning. Denise.
Good morning. I have no street name. Just Denise.
Okay, so we still have street names. Okay. We got jokes. That's okay. Anyways, Denise and I celebrated 3 years of friendship on Facebook this week.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful, isn't it? Can't you feel the love?
Yes, yes. It has been a road less traveled.
That's all right. Look.
Woods.
Look, you try to be funny. I actually took mine off my timeline because you made a nicer comment. But I can put mine back up if you have jokes.
Oh, snap. So I'm not on your timeline, but you're on my timeline? See, this is an imbalance in a relationship
It's on both timelines, woman. See, but let me tell you something. Let me tell you what I will never do. I will never go on Twitter.
Mm.
Now, we do have a joint account for The Queer Truth, but I will never go to one of my many individual accounts to put you on blast. Oops. Stuff that we can talk about over the phone, FaceTime, text, something.
Uh-huh.
But it seems that...
I'd be like, Chantel CC don't even like men. She don't like men at all. Men and Black Lives Matter.
What happened, guys? What happened? Now, all of them tweet so much, I wasn't willing to go through everybody's timeline, but I did find DeRay. Okay, so wait, let me do a little excerpt. Somebody posted on Twitter, how do people mispronounce your name? And DeRay was like, DeRay. So I guess we have an answer. He really does go by DeRay. My bad, DeRay. I didn't know. So anyway, DeRay had really clear words for Sean. Really clear. He said, I love Netta and I have never said that I hate the women in Black Lives Matter. And Sean knows that. And then he went on to say that while he supports the work that Sean does, he's lost all trust in him.
Whoops.
All trust.
Whoops.
Since the Justice Project is now defunct.
I could hear DeRay deleting the number in his phone as he writes that tweet. Deleting Sean's number. Let's talk about the original tweet for those of you that are not up to speed. What Sean wrote in the original tweet was that...
That wasn't the original tweet. Netta, I think, something happened behind the scenes. Because Netta was like...
Who is Netta?
Well, Netta and DeRay worked together for Campaign Zero. Mm-hmm. They've been organizing closely together since they've been on the scene. And they do a lot of things together, but DeRay also works a lot on his own and Netta works a lot on her own. And I'm not sure what originally happened because a tweet was deleted. And it was the tweet that Netta was tweeting to Sean where she wrote, are you ready to talk about this?
Mm-hmm.
And Sean was like, don't come for me today.
Well, Sean King has been getting a lot of questions about his fundraising activities. He's super great at raising funds. And then the results of all of the fundraising isn't as transparent as a lot of people would like it to be. So sometimes he raises funds and there's not a lot of clarity about where those funds are going. Did Sean get those funds? Did the victims or whoever supposed to, the funds were intended for, get those funds? It's not always clear. And what Sean admits to is being super bad at managing people and managing money. Sean King had a campaign called Justice Together, and he had a lot of heavy hitters on that campaign. DeRay was involved.
Well,
Union was involved on that campaign. So, you know, he had a lot of trust out of the box. I was one of the people that originally signed up to be on the mailing list, and he is super good at sending out these emails that are very engaging and seem very sincere. But he's not the clearest communicator when he's communicating to masses of people.
Well,
so
fine, you're being real nice and formal.
Yes, I
and
am.
Professional about this.
Woo!
DeRay said, I sent Sean a text that he didn't respond to. I called him and he sent me to voicemail. Mm-hmm. I found out, and I'm a board member, and I found out just like everybody else.
Oh, wow.
When the thing went defunct.
Yeah. So Justice Together went defunct. Sean King says he has refunded everyone's money that has donated to Justice Together since the money can't be used for the original purposes. Why it went defunct, I'm not really even sure.
Hasn't answered the question. That's why you're not sure. Even in that very long Medium post, he does not answer the question what happened other than he took on too much.
Yeah, I mean, Sean King has a family to run. Sean King,
I think five kids.
Sean King took on a job at, it was Daily News or something. It's a newspaper in New York. He's a regular columnist for right now. That was a recent change in his life. Before that, he was a writer at Daily Cause. So yeah, it's a lot. I know it would be hard to run a nonprofit along with all of that, but he had a way better head start than a lot of people. He had a lot of name recognition. He had a lot of heavy hitters on his board, and he had people that were down to fund him. And where the love is lost for a lot of people is that people put in thousands of man hours volunteering for Justice Together, and now Justice Together is no more. It's really problematic.
Well, as DeRay said in one of his great tweets, something along the lines of, before Sean will text me back, he will create a web page. He will write a 10,000 word post.
Oh yeah, that's a mess. Yeah,
that's a problem. Yeah. That's a problem.
Yeah, I mean, like that means you're treating DeRay, who's on your board and who's supposed to be your boy, you're treating him like, you know, one of these right wing writers for Breitbart or something like that, right? Like who be coming out of this out of their neck talking about you're not even black, Sean King, you know, crazy allegation like that. Sean King, it seems, has some, I don't really think that this is about management as about like basic people skills. Sean King was Sean McPetty by putting out that tweet that said DeRay didn't even like the woman.
DeRay in the black said a long time ago that he's tired of working with you. And he hates most of the women in Black Lives Matter.
That is so McPetty. I'm like, Sean King, like, whoa, that is the pettiest pettiness.
Get out of your feelings.
That is so petty. And you know what? And when you're having an argument with someone or someone pisses you off, it is so low to then bring somebody else's name in there and reveal some stuff that they told you in confidence. I mean, like, how petty can you be? Like, it just, I'm just like, that's like, what? Who?
Yeah, exactly. But Civil Rights Twitter came through for us and helped us laugh about it a bit by posting some great memes of Coretta Scott King, MLK, Malcolm X, all these hilarious things to make a bit light of the very ugly, ugly, ugly beef that was happening on Twitter. And, you know, DeRay, for example, he responded by saying, well, I have to do this on Twitter because I was prompted on Twitter. I can't just let it go. I don't know if I agree with that. I think some things you might need to let go. I understand that he felt like he needed to make a statement, a clear statement about if he said those words about women in the movement. I don't know if it has to go any further than that. I also don't know what prompted Netta, because the tweet has been deleted that she was retweeting or quoting. But I would still kind of hope, I mean, I know this is the day and age that we live in, but does it really have to happen on Twitter? Does it?
Yeah, it does. It does, because here's the thing. I mean, like, we're in the age of, like, it's like quantum PR. It's a level of exposure that people have never had before, ever in the history of mankind. And the people that are going to really excel are going to be people that know how to work that. One of the things I liked about DeRay is that I don't really feel like any of the tweets that came out of him with this betrayed anyone's confidence or were petty. I feel like they stuck to the facts and he kept to his I statements and he stays sort of like even-headed and professional. He doesn't really get into his feeling. And that's a skill that Sean King clearly does not have.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've said several times that Sean gets in his feelings. People are going to come for you. If you're in that position, people are going to come for you. And while it's ugly, and there's no doubt about that, that it was ugly that people were going into his business, looking at his birth certificate, saying that a white man's name is on it and so forth, the response still can't be personal because it's not personal. Yes, I understand that he talks about the attacks and the threats. It may feel very personal, but it's not personal. It's meant to tear him down and to remove the power of his position. So he has to recognize that he's in a game. He's in that game and he has to play it. And he has to play it as well, if not better, than the people who are coming for him. At the end of the day, I don't understand how he could come for people who have done nothing but DeRay, at the very least. I'm not sure about his relationship with Netta, but DeRay has been nothing but very vocal and supportive of Sean through all of the nonsense that he's gone through this year. So really unfortunate.
My takeaway from all of this is that I'm not going to define Sean by the weakest of his skills. I feel like the weakest of his skills is organizing, which is sad. Right? Because he's really good in some ways in organizing, like engaging people, doing the initial ask, getting people excited. But I think that where I'd like to see him continue to focus on is journalism. I think that's his strongest skill. If Sean could just say, look, I'm a journalist, that's my focus, I'm going to try and build a career in that, go the Ta-Nehisi Coates route or something, you know, maybe write a book, continue and have his activism sort of have more of a focus towards shining light on certain issues, that would be great. But nobody should be giving Sean money because clearly he doesn't know how to deal with that. Whether he's collecting money for earthquake survivors in Haiti or Tamir Rice, and then the Tamir Rice family says they didn't know Sean. He cleared it up. He did clear it up at the end of the day, but he does not follow proper procedure for nonprofit management, and he needs to leave that alone. I feel like DeRay is much better at doing that than Sean is. And I feel like the Black Lives Matter crew has been much better at doing that.
I agree. I think everyone has their strengths. DeRay and Netta have done a really great job with policy work that they've been doing with Campaign Zero. They get a lot of buy-in. Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton are constantly responding to their tweets, to their demands, you know, offering us explanations that we might not otherwise receive. Black Lives Matter has a lot of different units across the country. They're going to the different rallies and so on and so forth. So I think that, you know, where I see Sean personally, I think he's a great investigative journalist. He continues to uncover systemic problems in the different cities where we're seeing a lot of violence, or even uncovering backstories that nobody else is willing to touch. So I'm happy that he does that. And I think I would love for them to do maybe even like a public makeup so we can all move on.
All hands. It'll be all like, we are the world.
Oh, goodness. In other social media news, Facebook officially changed its name policy on Tuesday. The queer community was up in arms when they changed their name policy that it had to be, you know, your birth name or you had to prove that it was your legal name. And now they've understood what the issue or the many issues that policy was causing. So they've changed it again. And it's not only the queer community who will profit from it. It's also other people who might be endangered in other ways who are trying to protect themselves. What do you think about it? I don't know. I go by a lot of aliases. I don't need those on Facebook necessarily. But then I understand the queer community's concern, especially the trans community. I also follow quite a few sex workers. I follow quite a few neo-burlesque artists who have these different names.
Well, I mean, I'm going to give Facebook some free consulting right now. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, they have these things called verified accounts. And verified accounts are if I'm Cher or, you know, if I'm a big name, I'm a celebrity, I can create an account and the social media will actually verify that I am Cher, right? Like, so I would like for Facebook to roll that out more widely for regular people, that I can have a verified account under my legal name. And that if, you know, I create an account called Ghostface Killer or something like that, that account can exist and it can do all the things that a verified account can do for the most part, but people will know that Ghostface Killer is not my legal name. The reason why I would like to have this is that I have a huge problem with people having this much name flexibility on Facebook. The reality is that most of us have hundreds of Facebook friends. So if someone becomes your Facebook friend as, you know, Jane Doe, and then they change their Facebook name to Kiki Doe or whatever, it becomes a problem. You cannot find them anymore. It's really hard for you to locate that relationship and who they are. And you're like, but where is Jane? I feel like there needs to be some sort of history that you friended this person as Jane Doe so that you know the name that you friended them as, you know the name that you referred to them as. And another reason why I would like to have this is because there's been a problem with Facebook being used in job interviews. There's been a problem with Facebook being used as part of people's identity. And if it's a verified account that has been backed up with legal documentation that Facebook knows that this is your real name, then that's fine. But if it's not a verified account, then people can at least have some level of suspicion, warranted suspicion around, is that who you really are? I think that as Facebook becomes more widely used, I totally understand what they were trying to get at with their real name policy. And of course, I know that if I'm friends with a sex worker or a stage performer and they go by their stage name, I'm totally okay with that and I know who they are. But I have a problem with sort of reconciling the old Facebook policy of sort of like anything goes in terms of naming with the new ways that Facebook is being used in our lives.
I can somewhat agree with that. Obviously, we use Facebook quite differently. I like to curate. I have, I don't know how many lists, very particular about who can see what on my page. And I absolutely hate the fact that employers use Facebook as anything. But I think what the problem was with the old system, and this is the problem so often, the people who were reporting the names had more power than the people who held the account. So if someone reported the name, and they've tried to improve that now, but if someone reported the name, basically they already had, you know, that person was guilty because the name had been reported. And so the person had to do all these things to prove that they weren't guilty, so to speak, rather than Facebook giving them an opportunity to explain why they were using a different name, which in the new policy, they do have the opportunity to do. I don't know. I think there are other things. There's LinkedIn, right? I mean, if there's a need for employers and other people to know who you really are, there's a place where you can present yourself accordingly. But I think for many people, Facebook is used as a marketing tool or as a way to meet clients and whatever. But a lot of people just use it for fun. I use it because I'm an expat. And now my nieces and nephews are old enough that I can keep up with them and watch all the fun things that they do. I'm not really interested in people making a call on who I am or not due to some things that I've posted on Facebook.
Well, they do. They do all the time. I mean, like, it's, I don't know. I mean, DeRay. DeRay had an amazing tweet. I'm sorry. I come from Queens. It's always going to be DeRay. He had an amazing tweet saying something like, you know, I'm sick of seeing all of these articles about how social media doesn't matter on social media. Why don't you post those articles off of social media where it apparently matters, right? I think people, especially in our generation, have a hard time recognizing that something that changed as rapidly as 2-3 years ago is now standard. It is now standard.
It might be standard, but it's not used in a standardized way. That's all I'm saying. Like, yeah, everyone uses Facebook for different reasons. So I don't think there should be like a uniform policy as far as how names are handled. I mean, it is annoying. I have someone on Facebook. I don't even know what the real name is. I don't know because we met. I don't remember what their real name is. Okay.
What is your name? It's so annoying because I think that people do that with the idea of like that they're untraceable. And it's like, girl, Facebook know who you are. I mean, like they know your real name. I'm like, yeah, who are you fooling?
We'll see.
Between Google and Facebook and...
Well, of course. They all know who the real person is. But, you know, it's funny that you're saying they all know who you really are because that's what I wanted to talk to Keke Palmer about this week. I don't really know why it was necessary to talk about it this week considering the video came out all the way back in at the end of October. But Keke Palmer asked about her video, said that she doesn't have to be stuck... Wait, okay. So the name of the song is what? I don't belong to you. And she has this video and I really don't get the song. I really don't get the video. She seems to just wake up angry, gets dressed. Her dude tries to reach out to her. They, you know, apparently had spent the night together. She's like, no, don't touch me. I don't belong to you. Okay. Leaves. And then at the end of the video winds up at a chick's place. The chick happens to be Cassie. And...
Ooh, yes.
I wasn't mad at her.
Was it a party?
No, they just basically looked at each other for 30 seconds of the video and then walked in, and that's where they end the video. Not nice. But apparently she has been asked about, you know, is she trying to say something? Is she trying to have it coming out? Whatever, whatever. And she went for the, I don't believe in labels.
Can I quote?
There's so much. Yes, please quote.
Am I gay? Am I straight? Am I bi? I'm making the rules for myself, and I don't have to be struck down by one label. I don't feel the need to define nothing to nobody because I'm always changing. Why say that I'm this or that when I might not be tomorrow, she says. I'm going to follow my own feelings and my own heart. Okay, okay.
That's real convoluted, Cinderella. I just need for you to own some shit. Said. I need for you to own it. Just own
No. I mean, you know, I identify as bisexual, and I've talked about this a lot, and I'm very vocal about this with you about bisexuality in the new economy of queerness, in the sense of that as long as I have been out, since is before a lot of people who are now calling themselves queer have been born. So as long as I've been out, I have experienced a tremendous amount of biphobia that has never been reconciled. And I've experienced it from all these organizations that have B prominently stated in their acronyms of LGBT or what have you.
Right.
And it's hard for me to reconcile the fact that there has always been and there continues to be a tremendous amount of stigma associated with being bisexual, and that people that are technically under the dictionary definition of bisexuality, when they come out today, they really want to distance themselves from the word bisexual.
Well, it's not whether she chose to go for pansexual, thankfully, but I hate on that term. I really do. But I don't understand how you can make the video that she made and then have such a defensive response to a simple question of what's going on, Kiki? I mean, she's a star, right?
That's the Queen Latifah response, right? Like, I mean, the Queen Latifah sort of rhetoric around coming out is that, well, straight people don't have to come out. Why is it that there's a burden of proof on me just because I'm suspected to be...
We're gonna have to leave Queen Latifah for another day because that is a very long conversation that I do want us to have. But today, with Kiki, she did a video. I mean, that Latifah got caught creeping with her girlfriend and there was a picture. That's something different. Kiki has it in the video. This was a conscious decision.
Right.
So just be like, yes, I'm owning this.
Nah, she can't own it. I mean, because there's a lot of sort of like female on female titillation that goes on in pop culture anyway, that's right? True. Remember when Cassie was rubbing up breast assists with Nicki Minaj, right? Look, like, remember when
I am convinced that Cassie is all the way queer. Cassie.
She left P. Diddy. She left P. Diddy now after 7 years
of playing games with this dude.
7 years.
She is finally fed up.
What's she been doing? Okay.
Anyway. Stay focused.
So I am going to quench my Cassie thirst, but move back to Kiki. I really think that people that fit the definition by 99% of the standard of what people think bisexual is, which is that your sexual attraction is not based on the gender of the person you're attracted to, that you could be attracted to people of any gender. Now, when people fit that definition, it is scary because they know they have no community. There's really not a place at the table for bi people in the queer community in the way that it should be. And there definitely isn't a place for them at the table in the heterosexual community. Certainly. Right? So I think that definitely there's this sense of like just being like, well, just don't label me. Let's just not talk about it. You know, like if I don't identify, it's kind of like the queer equivalent of colorblind ideology, right? Like if I don't identify, then I don't have to deal with the reality of being this identity. It's cool. I'm, of course, not going to put that identity on anybody, but like most queer people actually, studies have said, most queer people actually fit bisexuality than just gay or straightness or what have you. Bisexuality is probably the predominant sexuality within the queer movement in terms of, you know, just the sheer volume, the numbers. But because people are so reluctant to identify as such, we continue to be marginalized and the stigma persists around bisexual people. So,
well, I don't want to be
personally.
I don't want to be fluid phobic. I don't want to be no label phobic. So I'm gonna let her have that. But you know, that was.
I mean, yeah, and look, you know, there are some things is like people that are trying things out. They could be transitioning from one thing to they may not even really know. So they might not be ready to take a stand. I would say if you don't know, maybe it's not time to put it in your video.
Maybe not.
Not if you don't know, because then. I'm always like very perplexed by people who answer a simple question as if they were in the middle of an argument. You know, like kitchen and you're like, hey, what are you cooking? And they're like, I don't have to cook eggs. Who said I got to cook eggs? I don't like eggs. You know, I don't have to. I'm a vegan. Hey, calm down.
Calm down.
That was not the question. So I feel like that's where Kiki's coming from, as we've all been through sexual transitions and trying to come into ourselves. I think that's sort of a place where a lot of us are at some point in time, this level of defensiveness and uneasiness with who we may be perceived as. Right. So Kiki, do you.
Do you. Do you. In our second segment, I'd like to talk about the two strong Black women of the week. Let's start with the positive example, the love of my sports life.
Oh, you mean my baby mama? Okay.
Serena. Now look, I love Serena, and I know some people might feel differently about her after her comments concerning Steubenville. I do not forget that. But Serena has done so much, and she continues to learn, and she even, you know, stepped up when that happened and apologized and got in touch with the family and so forth. This year has been an amazing year for Serena and her fans, like myself. So many Grand Slam titles, so much beauty at the New York Fashion Week. She's even running, chasing folks down to get her phone back. I mean, this woman is a superhero. And she most deservedly won Sports Person of the Year at Sports Illustrated. But of course, not without some people
haterating,
and in such an ugly way, like they haven't done it already this year. I honestly don't remember if the article about, correct me if I'm wrong, was that article this year about Serena or last year where we all got so mad that was in the New York Times? I don't remember, and I don't care. But Serena has gone through it, and for her to win Sports Person of the Year and then give such a great speech, you know, she talked about the horse in the room. She made a joke about it. She even called herself a comedian on the side, but she handled it, and she acknowledged everything that she goes through. She acknowledged the fact that she's treated badly because of her race. She's treated badly because of her gender. You know, people are constantly telling her that she is not the ideal beauty. She's not this, she's not that. She's my ideal beauty. I look at her body, I see my body. It'd be a little more toned than me, but just a little bit. Oh, I'm so thrilled. Yeah. I'm so thrilled.
One of the things, yeah, she's amazing. I absolutely love Serena. And just to give some background into this, the Los Angeles Times had a poll, an online poll for the Sports Person of the Year. And, you know, white people use this as an opportunity to put a horse in the running, so to speak. So there's a racehorse, and they voted more for the racehorse, who's had an exceptional year, than Serena. Now, the obvious problem with this is that it's called even Sports Person of the Year, and that means that the person has to be a person. But what we know in terms of the legality is that, you know, generally people will get more time for killing a horse than killing a Black person, right? Like, so it really
and, is. And late night hosts will cry more about the killing of a lion than the killing of a Black person. So,
yeah. So and there's a history in this idea that Black people are just somehow animals. One of the things that has dogged Serena through her entire career is this idea that she has an unnatural advantage because Blackness, right? There's this idea that because of Blackness, elite athletes are not working as hard because they've been somehow genetically engineered to have more muscle tone. People even say things like they have a special bone in there. Foot so they can sprint better, or they say they don't believe that Black people, and studies have actually shown this, that they don't believe Black people are actually feeling pain in the same ways. So there's been a dehumanization process of Black people that has been used to justify the treatment of Black people in this country. And that, of course, extends to what Serena is going through right now, that people don't really see her as a human. And as such, any success that she has isn't necessarily due to her talent and hard work, but it's due to the fact that she has an unnatural advantage because,
I would correct that just a bit by saying that's what she has gone through since the beginning of her career. And now she's getting to this place at the age of 34. Mind you, she started, you know, she was on the national scene already as a teenager. She's getting to this place at the age of 34 where she's finally gaining a wider range of acceptance, not only within the Black community, but across races, across sport disciplines. People are recognizing, you know, the great talent that she is. This is a one time in a generation type of talent. Like, I'm so happy that I've grown up with Serena because she doesn't come around often. She is absolutely unique.
But she still got to deal with Drake, though. So
no. It was not not Drake sitting at the family table. It was not Drake sitting at the family table at that dinner. Those rumors have been cleared up long ago.
What you mean? They're cleared up?
Yeah, they're cleared up. It's not Drake at the table.
They just friends?
I don't even know if they're friends. I mean, I know Drake tried to put Serena, his little shout out to Serena in Hotline Bling.
Talking about what?
Well, you, where's that? You know that chick lies down on her bottom. She does, you know, have a clear, there is some resemblance.
Shout out to Drake for not you somehow having some dalliance or some intense relationships with these amazing women like Nicki and Nicki Minaj or like Serena, and somehow still coming out of it, you know, being able to be in the same room with them without drama somehow. Yes. That's amazing.
He really does it well. Shout out to you, Drake, but unfortunately you didn't draw the long stick on this one. But Serena, I'm so proud of you. I'm so excited. I'm so thrilled by the speech that you gave. Thank you.
Yeah, she's amazing.
And in other strong Black women news, Sam's Club CEO, Rosalind Brewer, was interviewed on CNN Money ahead of the expected, which has now gone through, the expected hike of rates by the Fed. She was talking about a number of things, paid parental leave, minimum wage. Mm-hmm. And then Poppy Harlow wanted to ask her about her position and started by calling her a rarity in the corner office and then stumbled. While she was able to state Brewer's gender without a problem, she wasn't able to state her race. So she wound up saying, you know, as a woman and a woman and a minority in the corner office.
Who's a Black woman?
Just say it. Poppy probably would have said as an African-American woman, as a Black woman in the corner office, but she couldn't get it off her tongue. Brewer still handled the question quite elegantly, explained that diversity is absolutely a priority in her organization. She has a very diverse team, which includes white men, white women, Black women, women of color, and so forth, and gave an example that just that day she had sat down at the table with a supplier, and across the table from her were simply Caucasian, as she called them, Caucasian men. And Poppy asked, oh, well, what did you do? And she said, well, I didn't do anything in the moment, but I do plan on giving the supplier a call because that's not what we promote.
She said even level downs, there were no women.
Right. Cue outrage from white men. Now, the thing that's really annoying about this is you will find on the Walmart page a link that says we not only represent diversity in our organization, we expect it from our supplier. We have over 260 million customers coming into our stores every week. We're the largest retailer of the world, and we need that represented in our supplier. The permalink even says supplier diversity. Mm-hmm. Walmart is the parent company of Sam's Club. What is the issue?
Well, the issue is that what's really interesting is that, you know, white people do not see any problem with having all white institutions, companies, not only white, but white male. White women can see the problem with the gender being all male, but they can't see the problem with the race being all white. So that, of course, doesn't send a red flag to them of like, well, maybe those white men are there because they're just white men. Maybe those seats have to be filled by white men. And that's part of the entry card of getting into any of those seats. They don't see it like that. So, I mean, gosh, the bar is so low for reverse racism these days. The Wiz hit it. You know, the CEO is hitting the reverse racism bar. It is so incredibly low. And I'm going to go a step further. I totally get what you're saying with all of this stuff that there should be more what she is saying, I'm sorry, with that there should be more diversity and that it's definitely a priority for her organization. I hate Walmart, right? Like, so.
But that has nothing to do with the point. I mean, you can hate Walmart.
It does.
It doesn't. Hate Walmart and still appreciate the policy. It's a Black woman CEO of Sam's Club. How often do we see that? There is one Black woman. That's right. There's one Black woman CEO in all of the S&P 500, and her name is Ursula Burns at Xerox.
That's great. I'm glad that she's a Black woman CEO and that she's definitely done a tremendous amount of work to get to the place where she is. My issue is structural. I feel like Sam's Club and Walmart, that company, it's all one company, right? Like, so I think it's Walmart is the corporation's name.
Walmart is the parent company of Sam's Club.
Walmart is the parent company, and they have been at the forefront of basically the race to the bottom is what it's called, of basically setting up these jobs that are subsidized by the federal government in the way that these jobs do not pay a living wage. These jobs regularly engage in wage theft, as have been proven in courts of law. And these employees that are working sometimes even 40-hour weeks are still qualifying for benefits like Medicaid and qualifying for benefits like food stamps. So they are receiving subsidies and at the same time underpaying employees and have really contributed to a tremendous exporting of jobs in the manufacturing sector outside of the United States, which has cut out the possibility of sort of like class mobility for a tremendous amount of people, not to mention the fact that they've decimated small towns and small businesses. So while I really love that, you know, let's say if she really diversifies that office in the higher ups of that office, that there may be 100, 200 minorities that are now making 6-7 figures, doing great things with their career. When I look at the thousands upon thousands upon thousands of low-wage workers in these communities that are depressed by the structural policies of a company like Walmart, I can't get totally excited about anything that's said about diversity on this upper echelon level.
I think that's short-sighted. That's fine.
I mean, like, I'm not saying that it's not an either or. Right? Like it's not the air that most people live in.
But I totally believe that
she's absolutely right in having that level of diversity on that level. I think that's great that she's willing to even be outspoken about that. Because what we know is that if a white man had said that, the amount of blowback that he would have gotten, he would have been seen as an objective voice on this issue, where she, because she's a Black woman, is seen as having some sort of personal investment, and therefore she can't be invested in diversity in the same way that a white man could be invested in diversity. So I get the personal cost, and I get the risk that she took in even being able to say that in the way that she did, even with her company backing her. I get all of that. I just personally, when I look at the structure that is Walmart, Now, tell me why short-sighted.
No, because we're not using the podcast to have a discussion on structural economics. But my point in bringing up this topic was just the interesting take on, again, how white men are outraged about something that Black women or Black people in general are doing. But, you know, at the same time, Brewer had 100% backing from the CEO of Walmart, McMillan. He came out on Facebook because that's where a lot of the loud outrage was happening, where people were, you know, saying that they weren't going to shop at Sam's Club anymore until she's fired. And he said, well, she's not going to be fired. She has my 100% backing. So it was really simple. It'll probably die down again by next week. But it was another positive example. I mean, Melody Hobson gave her great TED Talk last year, where she said, instead of being colorblind, be color brave, and began her TED Talk with talking about, you know, going to a large fundraising event that she had organized for her friend Harry Ford, who was running for Senate at the time, a Black man. And when they arrived in some of their best dress, they were sent to the kitchen and asked why they didn't have on their uniforms. That's how she opened her TED Talk. And in her TED Talk, she discusses how people actually told her not to talk about that the day before her talk. So I continue to be, because it is, you know, something that I do professionally, I continue to be very excited to watch the transition that's happening and to see that people are brave enough, because it is a hard job, hard position to be in. So those are my two star women of this week. And moving into our last segment, since this is our last recording of 2015, what made you happy this year? What were your highlights?
Oh, Lord. Okay, so what made me happy this year? The Black Lives Matter movement made me extremely happy this year, how they've dealt with things, the fact that they were able to quickly mobilize around incidents in New York, Baltimore, all over the country. Of course, this movement has been brewing for a long time, but I feel like this is a year that will go down in history books as part of the new civil rights movement. So yeah, that has been definitely a huge highlight of my year. And what made you happy?
A lot of things made me happy. The She Thinks period panties made me happy. I haven't bought any yet. They're on my Christmas list. Don't make that face. I think it's great. It's great because just yesterday, somebody tweeted, is there an option for masculine menstruation hygiene? And I said, yes, She Thinks. They've made menstruation panties, and they even have boy shorts, as they call them. I mean, it's a very gendered webpage, but I think it's pretty exciting. They are on my Christmas list. I've been very excited about so many of the hashtag movements on Twitter. It would be very hard to go through all of them. But Chantel C is not a Beyonce fan, and I love Beyonce Always on Beat. It was one of my highlights. I love Oscars So White because I ride or die for Ava. And the Oscars completely dissed her concerning Selma. I loved Ask Rachel. And when I saw that Crocker Butter was my Tupperware growing up, I just felt right at home. So there were a lot of things happening on Black Twitter that just really made what was a very violent, very horrific year for Black lives, specifically in the U.S., it made it a little easier that I could, you know, laugh about something rather than cry about it. So that's something, right?
Yeah, yeah. And even this, even though Rachel Dolezal was not one of my highlights, all of the tweets about her were amazingly funny. I love that. So I totally love the turnaround that Twitter has done in terms of just making things that are horrible funny.
What else made you happy though? It couldn't have just been like Zola's story and growing up Black. I mean, there had to be something off of social media that made you happy.
Something, is there life off of social media? I don't know. Well, you know, what's interesting is I went to the States and I met up with people that I met initially via social media. People like Be Steady.
Be Steady.
That's right. And people like Stacey Patton.
Mm-hmm.
So that was an amazing experience. Of course, you know, just for personal reasons, being in the U.S. is an amazing experience. But definitely being able to make these relationships real off of social media, that's been great.
What are you looking forward to, though, for 2016?
Wrong day to ask me. I feel so overwhelmed, and it's so hard. It's the wrong day to ask me this. Don't ask me this.
Well, you've
what
been
am
asked.
I looking forward to? what am I looking forward to?
Well, I imagine you haven't watched Star Wars yet. Otherwise, you would have talked about it today. So
that's right. But I will watch that in 2015, rest assured. So that's not a 2016 type of situation. No, I don't know. I feel like I never thought that the things that happened in 2015 would have happened. So it's hard for me to even say what I'm looking forward to. Just sort of embracing change and embracing the end, I'll say.
I'm not sure if you saw Erykah Badu giving out her wisdom on Twitter the other day.
Okay.
Yes. She had her fans write in and ask her questions. And she would do, you know, little 30-second clips to offer the wisdom that is Fat Belly. And she said that change is going to come. She can feel it. It's happening. It's just a matter of time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't agree. Time doesn't equate to progress. I feel like 2015 has been a step back in progress. But I am looking forward to the influence that certain groups will continue to have in politics and in policy. I am looking forward to some big Marvel movies that are coming out next year. You know, there's things to look forward to.
I'd like to see a real emergence of progressive politics on a national scale in the United States. That would be awesome.
Well, I don't expect it, considering Ohio has sponsored a bill now, Ohio Republicans, that will require women who miscarry or abort to either cremate or bury their fetuses. So not to mention all the other things that the UN women discovered in their 10 days of traveling through Alabama and Oregon and wherever else they were. So I'm not too hopeful in that case, but I do believe that the grassroots organizations like BYP 100, like Black Lives Matter, like the even local organizations that I don't get to hear too much about, I think that they're doing things. And I think, you know, people like Rahm Emanuel can say goodbye to their job soon enough. I do think things are changing, but not at the pace that I would expect from a country like the U.S. But I'm looking forward to the change. I hope it happens sooner rather than later. So what wise words would you like to leave our listeners with?
Stay strong. Keep the faith. May the force be with you.
There we go.
There you go. So they I got
May the force be with you.
I got no wise words.
You always be having wise words.
White people. If I have wise words, it's accidental.
Okay.
Accidental wise words.
All right, man. Well, that's all for this week and for this year. If you would like to keep up with us, you can follow us on Twitter at The Queer Truth. We'd love to hear your thoughts on some of the things we've discussed today. You can also find us on Facebook at the same name. Feel free to get at us. Until next year, peace out.